Let's be remembering Brother Cody Henson. He's in San Diego this morning, preaching for Brother Kevin Thacker. And pray the services go well there and the conference in Ashland that Brother Kevin and Brother Chris Cunningham are preaching in. We pray for them. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of an even month, and we'll have a fellowship dinner. So, prepare for that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you truly bowing and humbling ourselves in your presence. And Lord, we pray that if you would be willing, you would receive us this morning. Lord, would you enable us to worship you and receive our worship. Lord, would you please let us be near to you? Would you let us focus on you? And would you allow us to give you all of the honor and glory and praise for all things? Lord, would you teach us this morning? And would you encourage us? Would you reveal yourself to us. Lord, show us more. We want to know more of you. We pray, Lord, that you might bless your word, bless the preaching. Send your spirit, and not only would you come into this place and meet with us, but Lord, every dear congregation of believers that are gathered, wherever they are, we pray that you'll meet with them. We pray for all of the men who will stand this morning. Please help those men. And all the brethren who will hear, Lord, we need just as much of your power and spirit and ability to hear as we do to preach. So, Lord, let the preaching go out with clarity, and let the hearing be heard in clarity. Lord, would you quicken us, quicken our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our ears, Lord, make us ready to hear. We pray for the children in their classes downstairs, and the teachers, and we pray for the gospel in this community and everywhere you send it all over this world, Lord. Bless it according to your will. Help us, forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We looked at the end of this chapter last Sunday night, last verses in the chapter. But before we leave it, I want to focus our attention one more time on verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, this Bible study is going to be a little bit different. And the reason is because the thought went through my mind. We finished these verses, and I just kept looking back at that verse. That's an important verse. That's a verse that I use a lot. Whenever we give gifts to young people and things like that, we'll put that scripture in there. That's a go-to scripture. And the thought went through my mind. I thought about teaching the older kids' Sunday school class today. I was just going to go in there, let one of the men cover this one out here, and I wanted their undivided attention. And I felt it would be beneficial for all of us, so I didn't do that. And one of these days, I might. I just might do that. But I pray the Lord will bless it. I don't want to single out the young people, but I do want you all to know that this is for you, all right? This is prepared for you. It's beneficial for me, and we can all listen in on this. But I have prepared this as though we were going to be in that room together, and I was just going to be speaking to you, okay? This is so important. I feel very burdened and very passionate about this Bible study, okay? So I want you to really, really pay attention. All of us need to pay attention, but I want these young people, these teenagers, older kids, those who are or will soon be young adults, really pay attention to this. And I pray that the Lord will bless this, all right? The Lord right here is talking about, in the end of Matthew 6, he's talking about food and clothes, and he's talking about the necessities of life. And he said at the end of verse 32, he said, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." He knows. But he said in verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, you all are growing up. We're all growing up. We were teenagers and young people, and now we're adults, and we're all growing up. I am speaking to all of us. But, you know, these kids, you all are coming to a place where you're about to make your way in the world. It's not going to be long at all. It's not going to be long at all. It just is so quick. You're going to make your way in this world, okay? And what I want each of you to know is there is only one way that will be truly blessed of the Lord. And there's only one way that will be a blessing to you, a true blessing to you. And that way is the way of seeking the kingdom of God first. The kingdom of God comes first. And if we're going to seek the kingdom of God at all, our Lord has to make us seek the kingdom of God. If we're going to do that, he has to make us do that. The only way that we can seek him is if he says to us, "Seek me." That's the only way. He has to do that to us and do that for us. So before we even get into this, I want to make it clear to everybody that salvation is of the Lord. I'm not saying salvation is in our hands. Salvation is of the Lord. It's his doing. It's in his hands. But every person that he saves, he says to them, "Seek me." Every person that he saves. So if we seek him, we're not doing it to be saved. We're doing it because we have been saved. It's because he has called us to seek him. We're doing it because we belong to him. We're doing it because he has commanded us to. And we're doing it because we want to be obedient to him and to his word. We love him. We love him and we want to seek him. All right? So I pray that he'll make all of us seek the kingdom of God. And I pray that he'll make us seek it first. All right? First. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? May the Lord let us forget about that dog, right? That's the Lord's dog. All right? He'll bark as long as the Lord wants him to bark. What is the kingdom of God? All right? What's he telling us to seek? Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, look with me at verse 14. It says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." It is the gospel of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the preaching of the gospel. And if somebody is truly preaching the gospel, that person is preaching Christ. That means the preacher who is preaching who Christ is and what he has done for his people is preaching the kingdom of God. All right, now who is Christ? He's God. He's God, God Almighty, God manifest in the flesh. What did he do for his people? He gave his own blood to save them. That's what he did. God came down and gave his own blood to save his people. And he saved them by himself. Fully, completely. I want all of our children to know this. Christ, who is God, came and saved his people alone, fully, completely. He shed his blood, made that payment, and it's done. It's done. And because of him, we're safe. That's why we have so much rest and so much peace. We're safe. We belong to him. All that the Father gave to him are his people. And as his people, we worship him, we pray to him, we gather together to praise him. That's why we're here, to praise him and give him thanks. And we hear the preaching of his word so that we can know more about him. That's what we're doing here. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek Christ. It's to seek being with him. We want to be with him spiritually right now so that one day we can actually be with him physically in the presence of his kingdom, his actual kingdom. So it's to seek Christ. It's to seek being with Christ. It's to seek being with his people. This is the kingdom of God. That's who the kingdom is made up of, his people. So it's seeking and desiring to have Christ and his word and his gospel and his people and his spirit and everything that pertains to him, the kingdom of God, everything that pertains to him. And our Lord said, seek everything that pertains to him first. Not later. Not one day. Right now, today, and every day after. Tomorrow, seek Christ first and everything that pertains to him. And then the next day, seek Christ first and everything that pertains to him. Put him and his importance first. Make him your priority. We know what priorities are. We have priorities. This takes priority over something else. Make him your priority. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is Christ. Christ. His perfection. You know, everybody who is missing Christ, they're trying to earn their way to heaven. They're trying to get their own perfection. Christ is our perfection. He is our goodness before God. He is our worthiness. He is our acceptance. And we need to seek him and everything that he is first. And the Lord said, if we'll do that, and this is important. The Lord said, if we'll do that, everything that we still need on this earth will be taken care of. And I'm telling you, there are things that used to be said to me, and I used to think from older believers and pastors and things like that, and I would say, how do you know? How can you say that so confidently? I'm telling you, through my own experience now, it's true. It's true. What the Lord is saying is true. The Lord will provide all your need. He will. Just focus on him. You just focus on him and he'll take care of everything you need. Your parents, you think about the fact that, you know, you young people, your parents are literally providing. I guess at some point you get to an age where you go get a job and you start making some money. But up until that point, they're providing your clothes. They're the ones putting food on your table. They're taking care of all your need. And that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. We are his children. He'll take care of all of our need. Now, I have five things that I want to tell you. I have five things that I so, so desperately want to tell you, and I hope you hear it, and I hope you retain it. I realize that these things may not mean much to you right now. I realize that. I want to tell you these things. I want you to get a hold of them, but I'm telling you these things now because I want them to stay with you wherever you go. I want these things to stay with you. It is important to me that these things stay with you and that when a critical moment in your life comes, you remember these things, okay? I can remember a few occasions in my life whenever I was, you know, young, y'all's age, and I was told some very, very life-altering, life-changing things. I had it in my mind that I knew what I wanted to do. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and I knew what I wanted to do. And I was set. And I had some people tell me some very life-changing things, and they didn't really mean anything to me at the time. And I didn't even really want to hear them. The stuff they said to me, I did not want to hear it. I thought, I do not like the fact that you're telling me that right now. But here's the thing. I still remember those things to this day, all those years later. And I'm telling you that I am so glad that somebody told me the truth concerning the things of the kingdom of God. I'm so glad that somebody told me these things. So I'm going to tell you these five things. And I pray you'll take them to heart right now. I pray you'll get a hold of them and say, okay, that's right. But I also pray these things will stay with you and you'll remember these things the rest of your life. Number one, seek Christ and not this world. Seek the peace and the rest of Christ and not the trouble and turmoil of this world. You'll get plenty of it along the way. You'll get plenty of... Man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to pick up plenty of trouble. You're going to pick up... Don't go seeking the trouble and the turmoil of this world. Solomon said in Proverbs 15, verse 16, he said, better is little, having just a little, with the fear of the Lord, than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's better to have just a little bit and the ability to worship and serve the Lord than to be rich and to have so much responsibility with all those riches. All you have time to do is manage your riches. He said, it's just better. It's better. Turn over to Mark chapter 10 with me. Mark 10, verse 23, it says, and Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, why would he say that? It's because to become truly rich in this world, you have to give yourself to this world. You really do. You have to serve the world. You have to serve the world to gain the world. If your desire, your inner desire, is to gain the world, then you have to give yourself to the world and you have to serve the world. And when we're giving ourselves to and serving the world, we are not giving ourselves to and serving our Lord and our Master and our Creator and our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said that He would freely provide all these things. There are very few ways that a person can really pile up money. And I do want to say, for everybody to know, I'm not talking about an honest man's salary. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about providing well for your family. I'm talking about piling up riches. I'm talking about going after this world. There are very few ways that you can do that and give yourself to that and still have anything left to give to the Lord, to worship the Lord, honestly. The priority of life is worshiping Christ. I know that doesn't mean anything to the flesh. It takes a long time to start to enter into that. But I'm telling you, may God plant this seed in your minds and hearts. The priority of life. You know, people want to know, what's life all about? Well, get all you can before you die. That's not it. The priority of life is worshiping Christ. It is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. If we go after the riches, the fame, or the glory of this world, it will cost us our relationship with Christ. It just will. If our priority, if we go after and we make our priority to become a sports star or a rock star or any kind of star on this earth, if that's our priority and what we go after, it will cost us our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to. Nothing is more valuable than a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. All right, so I don't have time to take as long on the other ones, but I'm not going to. That's the first thing I want to tell you. All right, I wanted to really lay that down. Seek Christ first and not this world. Here's the second thing I want to tell you. The gospel is not everywhere. Don't move away from it. It's not. You say, well, there are churches everywhere. I know that. But the gospel is not everywhere. Don't move away from it. The scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't move away from it to go to college. Don't move away from it to get a job. Don't move away from it to be closer to family. Don't move away from it. If you go somewhere, if the Lord leads you to move somewhere, that's fine. Just move to a place where there is an established congregation of believers with a pastor who preaches the truth of God's Word. Here's the reason why. All right? Here's the reason why. It's because you are sinners just like we are. And I'm telling you, if you move to a place where the gospel is not, you might really enjoy being away from it. I'm just being honest. You might really, really enjoy being away from it. Your sinful flesh, just like ours, might really enjoy thinking, well, I can't go to worship Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. There's nowhere for me to go. Not around here. Gospel's not around here. I would, if it was, I'd go, but this is just my unfortunate lot in life. No, it's not. Move. Pack up your stuff and move. Find you a different college, a different job, or a different family. Move. This flesh is so sinful. It is so selfish. It may fall in love. It just may fall in love with the worldly freedom of being able to do whatever it is you want to do during those times. And you may not come back to where the gospel is. You just may not come back. That's not a good thing. Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 12, I didn't write it down, but he was saying, before the evil days draw nigh and your heart says, I don't have any desire for these things, seek the Lord right now before it's too late. And here's the point. Don't put yourself in that position. Just don't. You won't hold up. You won't hold up. I wouldn't hold up. I'm just telling you. Don't do it to yourself. Don't put yourself in that position. So when it comes to the desires of your heart, what you want, seek Christ first. Seek the kingdom of God first. When it comes to where you're going to live, seek the kingdom of God first. Christ, the gospel, His people. Here's the third thing I want to say to you. Seek a job that will let you put worship first. Seek out a job. Seek a job. Go on a hunt for a job that will let you put worship first. Kids, I'm telling you, young adults, I'm telling you, the Lord will bless it. I'm telling you, the Lord will bless it. He will provide the very things that you're seeking after in these jobs that may pay a little bit more. You can get more stuff if you earn more money. All right? He'll provide the very things you're seeking after in these jobs that pay a little bit more, or maybe just appeal to your liking a little bit more, or whatever that may be. But don't allow you to worship. Those jobs that don't allow you to worship. If you have a choice between a job that pays more and you can't worship, or a job that pays less but you can worship, take the job that pays less. Take the job that pays less. You won't suffer for it. You will not. The Lord will still provide everything you need. Everything you need. And you'll have the comfort. One of these days you're going to need, if you belong to Christ, you're going to need the comfort and the contentment that comes from being able to worship Him. You're going to need it. Most people think that job moves need to be determined by how much money you make. That's not so. Job moves need to be determined by how it affects your worship. So if a job opportunity opens up where you can make less money and worship more, take it. You say, well, I won't be able to give as much. Give less. Take it. You will not regret it. You will not regret it. You saying that'll be easy, Street? Nope. Hard times will come. You will not regret it. Here's the fourth thing I want to tell you. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Marry a believer. Marry a believer. Marry someone who has a heart for Christ. You say, how will I know if they're a believer? They will have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. They will believe on Christ. They will love His word. That word will say to them, you're a filthy, rotten sinner. You can't do anything for God. You can't bring anything to God. And that person will cry, amen. To God be the glory. That person will have a heart to worship Christ. Marry a believer. If you don't, your life will be absolutely torn in two. It'll be torn in two. If two people are not going through life focused together on the only thing that needs to be sought for, if there are two different inner desires and two different opinions on where we ought to live, and two different opinions on what job ought to be taken, then there's going to be two separate people going two separate ways, and it'll be absolute misery. It'll be absolute misery. But when a husband and a wife are together, focused on Christ, focused on His kingdom, focused on His righteousness, focused on His glory and His honor and His praise and His worship. When that happens, a husband and wife are not two. They're not two at all. They truly are one. They have one mind. They have one heart. They have one spirit. They have one goal. They have one desire, and it's Christ. Christ first. First. So when it comes to your inner desire in this life, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. When it comes to where you're going to live, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. When it comes to what job you take, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. When it comes to who you're going to marry, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And here's the last thing I want to tell you, number five. If you get married, all right, I pray that 10 years from now, we don't have time for anything because we're just having wedding after wedding. But if the Lord allows you to get married, and if the Lord blesses you with children, when you become parents, you take the mindset that a man named Joshua took in the Old Testament. He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my children, my husband and my children, my wife and my children, we're going to worship the Lord as long as they are under your roof." Teach your children that worship comes first. It comes first. Try to put them in sports and extracurricular activities that don't interfere with worship. Try to do that if you can. If you can pick this one or that one, try to pick one that doesn't interfere with worship. Whatever you teach them, whatever mindset you teach them, that's what they're going to do for the rest of their life. Whatever you establish in your children, that's what they're going to do for the rest of their life. And I'm telling you, the greatest blessing that a parent could have on this earth is having children who grow up to be worshipers of the Lord. True heart worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That's honestly what I want. There are some things that we all have desired, but if you get down to the heart of what do you want? I want God to save my family, myself, my wife, my children. And I pray that the Lord will do the same thing for you. So in this moment, we call it this chapter of your life, every chapter that follows, seek Christ first. Seek Christ in where to live. Seek Christ in what job to take. Seek Christ in who to marry. Seek Christ in how to raise your children. And I'll say it again, that does not mean easy street will come. That's not a recipe for a life of ease. It is not at all. But our Lord said that if we will do that, He will take care of everything that we need. He will provide, He will take care of. If we'll focus on Christ and His kingdom and His righteousness first, then we honestly don't need to focus on anything else. Focus on Him, and He'll take care of everything else. And we can rest in the fact that He'll do it. He said He'll do it, and we can rest in the fact that He'll do it. Now, let me close by showing you this, okay? We're going to let all this be put in the words of the Lord Himself. All right. Right here in Mark 10, look at verse 23. We just read this. Jesus looked round about and said unto His disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Now watch this, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. You know, Peter left his boat, his nets, his dad, his business, his livelihood. We have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily, and I love that word. Every time you see the Lord say verily, he said, this is the truth. Verily I say unto you, there is no man, and this includes women too, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. And in one of the other accounts, it says the kingdom of God. Verse 30. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. That's the truth. That's the truth. He said, anything that is given up for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of my worship, he said, you'll receive a hundredfold in this lifetime and eternal life to come. And it's so. In the gospel, we have brethren, we have family, we have brothers and sisters. I have so many mothers and so many fathers. And you go somewhere and let a believer know you're coming through. You have houses. You have beds to sleep in. You need a bed. You got beds to sleep in. You need something to eat. You got all you need. You have all you need. The Lord will provide all you need. Me and you both. Let's keep that with us, all right? Let's keep it with us. Let's remember that the rest of our lives. All right, you're dismissed.